Blog Talk Radio.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see.
Welcome. You just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10.
And it is the biggie.
It is the biggie.
It's your boy, Journey Gray.
Nine,
I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tapped dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon. When I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, lightning bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. These plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Brave and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.
Host Ray Cole, and holding it down with me is your other host, Mitri D, aka No Reasons. How you feeling tonight?
What up, Ray? We in the building once again.
Yes, we are back at it, ready to boogie fist our way through this entire night, right?
Okay.
Tonight, we will be chopping it up with hip-hop artist Wild Card and saxophonist. Yeah, we got a little something different tonight. Saxophonist Kelvin Evans. Tonight we're also going to be discussing the dilemma, the ever-going problem of CP time and racism in America. Those are our topics for tonight. So how you been doing, Meech?
Chilling. Chilling.
Man, must be nice.
Nah, you know me. I'm forever grinding. I need to change my name to Clips real quick because I'm always grinding. You know what I mean?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Because if you ain't grinding, you ain't really living, right? I mean, you just kind of existing.
I guess you're right.
Man, I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off this month. It's just been a busy month, but like you said, it's grinding, you know what I'm saying? You be tired, but you know what I'm saying? But on the same token, it's so worth it, you know what I'm saying, to try to get your dreams and get whatever it is you're trying to do, make it come into fruition, you know. So, you know, put in the work now so we can, you know, really kick back and put our feet up later, so.
That's what I've been on.
Oh, yeah. Put in the work now. Chill later. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to spin a few records here, and then we're going to come back with our first topic, which is CP time, which if you people don't know what that means colored people time. And a lot of us colored people and some of us others be on CP time like a mother, okay? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to go ahead and play Chick Bang Theory Digging You and Absolute Butterfly. So sit back, relax, grab yourself a drink, some popcorn, whatever else it is that you need to be comfortable, and we will be right back.
With the flavor in your ears.
Another.
Thank you.
hard to understand you at all. But when I see you and you see me, it just all makes sense. Cause I always seem to fall into the arms of a man who never really makes sense. But if he took his love away, then I would want it again.
To be free, Jesus is your only need. Look at me, I'm on my knees. Pick you up, you in my hand. Hope you love some love the sand. His command. Watch out, you have to crawl before you stand. Butterfly, the cool. He's making room for you. Gain the land. The process is to make you humble, man. Focus on the glory, not the middle of the story. Giving honor to the one who's due.
What?
Read the Bible, try to catch the clue. Huh? Spiritually, we learn how to walk. Really, what your spirit, Lord, teach me how to talk. Just because we can't be patient. I know it's not so easy, but it's worth it. Dreams and visions like a baby waiting for birth. Yeah.
Butterfly, he's one the way to truth and light. Yeah. Butterfly, he's one the way to truth and light.
I see you blossoming, so beautiful the colors. Angels, they rejoice, I see you made it to stay one of. Your life is like a Bible, it's a story, give them glory. Tell them all about it, what ministry is real. Help and heal the hearts because they shed so many tears. Wonderful, gentle, majestic, see you butterfly. Jesus is there everywhere, now see you better fly. What bring hope, what bring peace. Show them with your life that he's the only one they need. And see, the multitude bowing at your knees. He's supreme, the king. Make your heart sing, bring a peace.
Yeah. Butterfly, he's one the way to truth and light. Yeah. Butterfly, he's one the way to truth and light. Yeah. Butterfly, he's one the way to truth and light. Yeah.
And so beautiful the colors. Angels, they rejoice. I think you made it till they wonder. Butterfly, I think you blossom. And so beautiful the colors. Angels, they rejoice. I think you made it till they wonder. Butterfly, I think you blossom. And so beautiful the colors. Angels, they rejoice. I think you made it till they wonder. Butterfly, I think you blossom. And so beautiful the colors. Angels, they rejoice. I think you made it till they wonder. Butterfly, I think you blossom. I think you blossom. I think you blossom. What? I think you blossom. I think you blossom. So beautiful the colors. Angels they rejoice. I see you made it through. They wonder. Yeah. Come on, one. Come on, one.
Uh oh. She was jamming. She had a little Queen Latifah feel going on right there. That was totally a head rocker right there, you know what I'm saying? Butterfly by Absolute. And we also had Digging You by Chick Bang Theory. Yes, yes, yes. And we are back. I am your girl, Ray Cole, and you are?
Your boy No Reason. Your boy
Boom.
No Reason.
Boom. Say it one more time for those that didn't hear you.
It's your boy No Reason.
Boom. They ain't ready, honey. They ain't ready. We are back, okay? And we are about to talk about the ever-growing dilemma, the constant problem amongst us and other people. CP time, okay? Yes, I have to address this. These late, don't kick my butt, but I have to address this. On the air, okay? I have to let my feelings be heard about this, okay? So, yes.
Oh, Lord.
I, the great Ray Deeney, used to be one of those people that just would be on my own time. That's pretty much what CPE time is. You think that the rest of the world revolves around you, and whatever time you get there, you just get there, okay? But maybe I'm getting payback. I don't know what it is, but all I'm going to say is this, okay? People, if you're supposed to be somewhere, if you're supposed to be doing something, if it is imperative to your career and getting ahead in the world, be on time, okay? Most times people don't care if you like 5 minutes late. 10 is kind of okay, but anything over that, you need to call ahead of time and let people know, hey, it ain't, you know what I'm saying, I'm running behind or whatever the case may be, or can we reschedule? The world does not revolve around you. Sometimes people got other shit to do, okay? And if you run, just because you're running behind, I'm not going to let you make me late for what I have to do, okay? Not only that, it is very inconsiderate and unprofessional to be on CP time. Like I said, maybe I have to have it thrown back into my face just so I can, you know what I'm saying, how rude I was when I was doing it. You know, it's not the world and God and the universe has a way of doing that, a way of showing you, you know what I'm saying, what shit looked like to other people. So maybe that's what I'm getting right now, okay? Yes, like I said, 5 minutes is cool. After 10 minutes, you're knocking on my nerve. After that, don't even bother, you know what I'm saying? Let's reschedule this for another day because people, time is money. Money is time, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying about that. Not only that, if you are calling into our radio show, you know, I appreciate everybody that takes their time to do interviews and to call in and to speak with us. But we run off of a curriculum. So if you are 20 minutes late, do yourself a favor and reschedule your interview because we're going to keep the show moving. We're going to keep it trucking because after 10 minutes, I've concluded that you're not going to call, okay? And not only that, you have to realize we are promoting you, okay? So if you don't call, not only are you making us look bad, you're making yourself look bad. So all I'm saying is just be considerate. And not only that, if this is about promoting your career or your brand, you have to think about that too. And I'm not just fussing it. It's you guys. I'm fussing at the people in my everyday personal life, too, because they're getting on my damn nerves as well with this CP time. That's my rant. I'm done. Do you have anything you want to touch and say on that? No reasons. I'm sorry, but this has been on my heart heavily.
Hey. Okay, Ray.
Yes.
So tell Dr. Phil Reason what happened to you to make all this stuff come out today.
You know, yeah.
Just lay back on the couch.
Okay. I'm going to start at the beginning. First, you know, sometimes when I go to the shows that are hosted by black folks, love you black people, but you niggas need to start on time, okay? Like, after 30 minutes, I'm looking at my watch like, should I be off or should I wait? You get what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong. If you give me a heads up like, hey, we running behind, I'm like, cool, no problem. But if I can't get no heads up, I'm thinking like, okay, maybe I need to leave. Like, maybe I didn't catch the memo. Maybe it ain't no show tonight. You know what I'm saying? Or you pay to get into something, and you sitting there for like an hour, 2 hours. It's like, are you for real? Like, where they do that at? You know what I'm saying? An hour, 2 hours, like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm the crazy one for sitting here. You know what I'm saying? But if I was my counterpart, I'd be up there at the counter demanding my money back. You get what I'm saying? Like, then the people in my personal life, you know, they just run off their own time sometimes. It's just like, okay, look, I understand people got stuff going on in their life. However, comma, when you're running late, you're making me late by running late. You're not understanding. You're messing with what I have to do. That's not cool. Then we come back to the radio, which I love so dearly, and I love speaking with people. But the thing is, you know, like I said, we're only a two-hour show, okay? We have everything that's time allotted. So if you're supposed to call in at this particular time and you call in at this particular time and we're getting ready to go off the air here, I don't see the point in you calling. Like, call and reschedule. It's nothing personal, but if you miss your time, you miss your time. If we were MSNBC, CNN, Today Show, anybody of that nature, if you weren't there, they would have you replaced or they would cancel your segment. You get what I'm saying? Like, they would just write you off. So, I mean, we might not be up there as of yet. We're moving in that direction. You know, I see the future. But what I'm saying is, the world's not going to wait on you. You get what I'm saying? The world's going to pass you right on by if you ride on CP time. That's all I'm saying. You know, I just, sorry I had to unleash all that tonight, but like I said, it's just been a build-up. Just been a build-up. It's been like a weeks and weeks of build-up, so I just got to let y'all know get your shit together and be on time, okay? If you know you're one of them late people, set your clock 15 minutes ahead of time so you can trick yourself into getting there on time. That's all I'm saying, okay? Thank you, God, for teaching me this lesson about being on time. I promise you, I'm not going to be running late for shit unless I just can't help it. And that is, that's all. I'm done. I'm done with my rant. It's okay to say all that. Huh?
Like they tell Family Guy, and that's Ray Ray, and what really grinds my gears.
Yes, it grinds my gears and makes my blood boil. I'm not going to lie to you, it makes my blood boil, because it's like, oh, my God, like, you know, especially, yes.
Right.
Yes.
But you were one of those peoples, too, so you can't get mad, because think about it. How many times
Hold on. That's just like somebody saying, I used to be a thug, but now I done gave my life over to Jesus. Yes, I used to be that way. Yes, that was me. But you guys didn't know me then, okay? Like I said, this is God giving me my payback and letting me see how inconsiderate the act that I was doing was. You get what I'm saying? So it's like initially, like this isn't just hasn't started happening. Like, I've been experiencing this for quite some time, and I'm like, okay, God, I got my payback. I get it. I get the point. But it's still coming on. It's just still going. It's like, okay, I see how inconsiderate and how, you know, how unprofessional I was when I was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you get to see it when other people do it too. You get what I'm saying? Just like if you or somebody who was always cheating on your girl or something, but when you get cheated on, you get to see how the other person felt. And that's the zone I'm in right now. I get to see how other people may have felt when I was, like, taking my time or lollygagging. You get what I'm saying? So I get where you coming from. It's like, you can't be the pot calling the kettle black. However, I have been on time for, I will say, about 98% of my endeavors. Okay, and if I was running behind time, I let people know well ahead of time, hey, I'm going to be late. That's all I'm saying. Give me a heads up. If you know you running late, or you know, hey, look, man, I might be 15, 20, might not be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is let a person know. So that way I can prepare myself or we can make some other arrangements. But if you know you late, you ain't called me, you ain't did none of that, and you just pop about the blue, you missed your time slot, player. I got something else to do. You know, that's all I'm saying. Give me a heads up. Like I said, I'm done with that rant. Thank you for listening. thank you for letting me get that off my chest. But I'm just saying, like you said, that grinds my gears, makes me grind my teeth, makes me ball my fist, you know, all that shit. So please, people, just in the future, if you could just prepare yourself and be on time. If you know you're supposed to call in at 8:25, nigga, be on the phone at 8:24, okay? Dialing the numbers, making sure the numbers is in the slot, okay? And if a minute before don't work for you, come on 5 minutes before. Just make sure you on time. Okay, I'm going to have to make a poem, okay? Don't waste my time. Okay, that's going to be the name of my shit, okay? If you know you're calling in late and you got to make an escape, don't waste my time. Anyways, but, okay, I'm done. Thank you, No Reasons. Meech, for listening to me. You know, sometimes we need a shoulder to cry on. You know what
I'm
saying? And yes. But what are your thoughts on CP? On CP time, you know, what do you think? Because you in a biker gang. So, I mean, I know when y'all say, hey, we leave it at 7:35, Roy's pulling
CP
up at 8.
That's CP all the time, yo. I can't even.
Man.
I can't even trip, yo. I'm like, I'm there on time. I'm there early, but, you know, I'm waiting on everybody else. I'm just, you know, it's life. You know, people have, they, you know, realized stuff going on, but then some stuff come up at the last minute, or they say, yeah, yo, I got enough time, but the time slip away from them. Things just happen, you know. So you can't always,
you're
you know.
He's so understanding.
You got to be, you know, because me, I'm always the dude. I'm always early. I like to be early. I like to, you know, beat the next person before they're trying to catch me when I'm trying to catch them. So it was
well,
like,
the early bird catches a worm, right?
So I'm just, you know, but don't get it twisted, though. Oh, I can hit the CP time real quick. Like, you know what? I'm going to make it just right about a minute before it's time to go in the dough, hopefully. But,
well,
you know.
All I'm saying is this. Like, okay, if it was a party, I can understand you being fashionably late, okay? Like, it's certain things I can understand, you know, shit, I know they ain't, you know, it's lame to show up right when they open. You get what I'm saying? I can understand certain things. However, if it is an interview, job interview, if it's something where you have to meet somebody that is about their business, you need to have your black ass, white ass, Asian ass, Japanese ass, whoever else has, on time, okay? Because people don't want to have to sit there and wait for you, okay? Nobody wants to sit there and have to wait. It's just kind of like, like this person must think they somebody. They must think they really somebody if you can have me sitting there waiting. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's, you know, most times we dealing with, you know, with people that's, especially in everyday life, where it's like, okay, you can't make me wait like that. Like, and if you think you can, I'm just going to reschedule or get somebody different. So all I'm saying is, in the right setting, it's okay to be a little late. It's okay to be understanding if a person calls and lets you know, hey, this is what's going on. Granted, something might be going on in somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? You really don't know what people are going through, but if it's a consistent behavior, then it's just rude and it's inconsiderate. And that's just how I feel about it. Like I said, I think I'm just getting my the world is circling around and I'm getting what I put out there back, you know, so.
Right, right.
You know, but I mean, I appreciate you for listening, for your your feedback. Yes, you were, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. We got you. We going to be on time for now on, Ray Ray. We got you. All the indie artists done hurt you. I done hurt you. Big Brother done hurt you. Yo, we on time with you. We going to W.
We going to W time. Nah, just be on time. That's all I'm saying. At least 5 minutes after. Look, I'm done bitching about it. But I just had to put out how I was feeling about it. You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's all.
No, that's it. We're going to hit you with the WP time, white people
What's
time.
What's the white time? Oh, Lord.
We're going to hit you with the white
hold
people
on,
time.
Hold on, hold on.
You are going to be there 45 minutes early, sitting in the lobby. Waiting on you.
Look, don't do me, okay? All I'm saying is, if the shit start at 8:50, have your ass in the seat at 8:49, or at least by 8:49. Why is that so difficult? That's all I'm saying, you know, because when I did it, I did it because, go ahead.
It might be a line outside. But they can't get in about it.
You just got all the excuses. All the
excuses. All the excuses. You know, we might have, you know, might have caught a flat tire on the way out. Might be running low on gas. Car accident. You know, things happen.
That's true. Yes. Things do happen, but we live in the generation of the cell phone and the text message and the Facebook instant message and the Twitter instant message. You can let a bitch know. That's all I'm saying. Like,
it.
Let somebody know.
But think about it. You know, I might have left the charger at home. You know, damn, I ain't got the charger. I left it in the other car. I left it in the house. So
okay.
My phone about to die.
If you left the charger at home,
that means
you're not going to be calling in, period. So I'm going to assume one or two things. That either something happened to you or you just didn't want to call in, and if it's an emergency situation, if you're somebody that cares about whatever it is they're doing, they'll let you know later on, like, hey, I was in a bind, which is understandable. However, what I'm saying is if you're sitting there on your ass and you're not doing nothing, ain't been doing nothing all day, and you know you got somewhere to go, but you just cruising and surfing and surfing and cruising and cruising and surfing, All I'm saying is that is inconsiderate. Trust me, I understand, because in the household that I live in, shit happens all the time. Okay, I understand that. But what I'm saying is just be considerate of the other person. That's all I'm saying. Don't have people waiting for you. If it's a situation where it's some drastic shit, that's understandable. But if it's something where you're just dragging your ass, then that's not understandable. That's not cool. That's so not cool. That's all I'm saying. You know, but I definitely feel where you're coming from. I understand shit happens. But if you can let a person know that some shit is happening, then we can keep moving. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yes. Uh-huh. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and spin the record, and then we'll be back with our first interview. Okay? So we're going to play Season. The name of the song is called Playa. Okay, so it is time for our first interview. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it is. So, wild card from the Bull City, Durham, North Carolina. He's 25 years old, a unique hip-hop storyteller who tells it as it's not what's the trend. Wildcard grew up in East Durham, one of the roughest parts of town. Wildcard used hip-hop as an outlet to make out of his bad situation that he was born into. When you think about his music and style, think about Ice Cube meeting Little Brother. Wildcard gives you the conscious side of hip-hop while adding a laid-back coolness to it also. Wildcard has two solo projects out. One is called Committed to My City, which came out March 2012, and his latest project is Determined Since 1988, which released October 2013. So let's give a warm D-Hour Indie Up Saturday welcoming to Wildcard. How are you doing?
I'm doing lovely. How about yourself?
We are awesome. We are awesome. So we're going to go ahead and get right on into the interview. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm Wildcard. You know, like you said, I'm from Durham, North Carolina. Just currently moved to Los Angeles, California just yesterday. Actually,
wow.
Yeah. 25 years old, you know, child, the oldest child, you know, got a little sister right behind me. Really just a hip-hop fanatic, you know, just ever since I was like 12, 13 and was able to see videos on Rap City, I just been a hip-hop fanatic. So I didn't really see any other option for me to do anything besides hip-hop, so.
Okay. It'd be like that sometime. I remember BET, I sit there and watch the music videos all day, every day. So I definitely feel you, brother. Yes, what does your name mean or represent?
Oh, well, it's actually funny you bring that up. Yeah, I don't think nobody has ever asked me that. Well, basically, I got wild card. If you ever seen the movie State Property 2, I believe, I forgot the guy's the name. He was like Benny Siegel's right hand man. I just remember a line in that movie where he said, "I'm the wild card in the crew. I keep my team in the game." So when I decided to take my music seriously, I needed to come up with a name for myself because obviously I couldn't use my real name. So I decided to go with that because I felt like, you know, wherever I'm at, you know what I'm saying, whoever I was with, I was going to keep my team in the game with my music because I felt like my music was original, and I give the people exactly what they want, you know what I'm saying? So that's basically where I got that from, pretty much a movie.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you stole it from the Uno game. No, I'm just teasing.
No.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where he got it from because if you think about it, you throw that wild card, it's on. Like, you can change the color.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a game changer right there. Definitely.
Oh, yes. You can do what you want to with that wild card. But, okay. So, yeah, we're going to go to the next question. What projects are you currently working on or do you currently have out?
Well, like I said, I released the Determinator since 1988 back in October. So I really just been on a campaign just trying to push that as hard as I can. Getting ready to start working on my next full-length album titled Soul Psychedelic.
Okay.
I just feel like this is going to be the project that's going to put me over the hurdle, you know, and everybody going to start to recognize my name after I drop this project. I just started working on it, really just getting a feel for some beats right now. I hadn't really started writing on it. I'm going to put my all into this project, and I hope to release it probably sometime next year. I really don't have a release date on it, because I just want to work on it as detailed as possible and make it as perfect as possible. So, yeah, just be on the lookout for that Soul Psychedelic. I'm going to try to release some, like, little promo singles in the next coming months. But that's definitely what I'm working on right now.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like the name, psychedelic, so it's going to be like some Jimi Hendrix-type psychedelic. going on?
No. No, I wouldn't necessarily say it's going to lean towards Jimi Hendrix. It's just going to be, because I feel like on my last project, Terminator, since 1988, I feel like I was telling my prelude to my life story. So
okay.
I felt like that was a real serious project. You know, it might have been kind of hard for certain people to get into it because it wasn't necessarily one of those things where you could just ride around in your car and just bump my CD all day. You know, it was one of those type of things where, you know, you had to sit down and actually listen to it and, you know what I'm saying, get the feel for everything I was saying. So with this next project, the Soul Psychedelic project, I just want to take the opportunity to further what I've been doing on the conscious side, but, you know, lean into, you know, the party and get more fun records out on this one than I had on the last one, because I was just mainly focusing on just, you know what I'm saying, getting my story out there and just getting my story out there.
All right, so this is going to be the Boogie Fist one, this third one coming up, right? People need to go out and put
all
that
right.
Boogie Fist up in there.
All right.
Okay. 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 So what are some obstacles that you have had to face as an up-and-coming artist?
Oh, man. What a wonderful question that is. Well, some of the obstacles, basically how I got started taking the music seriously, because I used to, like I said, about age 12, 13, I was just rapping, you know what I'm saying, just for fun. And then probably about 5-6 years ago, I decided to take it seriously. So I was actually rapping with this crew called the Jams Gang, and basically, to make a long story short, we had different visions on certain things, so I just had to go in a different direction than they was. So it came a point where the people that were supporting me on while I was with them stopped supporting me once I did ties with them. So it sort of was like I had to work from the ground up two times in a row because it was just like my support system wasn't there the way I needed it. So I just felt like I had to, you know what I'm saying, build all the way from the ground up and, you know, just start again. And, you know, me just being an independent artist and having to put all my money into, you know what I'm saying, my project.
Yeah.
You're spending all my money on the project. You know, it takes a long time to do that because you want to make sure it sounds right. You want to make sure that the music is crisp and clear, because you don't want to send off no music to no blogs or no whatever, no TV or radio, and it sounds like basement sounding, you know. And I tell people all the time that do music, I'm like, yo, it's better for you to go ahead and pay to get your songs clear, mix and master, professionally sounding, because when you try to send your songs, no matter how good it is, if they don't sound good, the quality-wise, then they probably won't even, you know what I'm saying, take the time to listen to it and put it on their blog. So it was just a real difficult process of me just, you know what I'm saying, trying to make sure I had all the money, because, you know, I was only working a $10 or $11 an hour job, and then I still had to pay my own rent and all these other bills. So it was kind of difficult to sit there and pay for all my bills and then have money on the side to take and pay for this project and all that stuff. So that's probably the main obstacle I've been faced so far in my career, just, you know what I'm saying, pretty much having to do everything on my own after the way I started, where, you know, I had people that was helping me. And like I said, when I split ties with them, all that helped pretty much went away. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's really my...
that's crappy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's just, unfortunately, it's just how life sometimes will go. But I do want to tell you, like, this isn't necessarily a guarantee, but this is something that could possibly be beneficial. I don't know if you ever heard of a program called Kickstarter. Like, if you know, just put it in Google, but, like, a lot of times people go on there and they're, like, up-and-coming artists. They'll put in, like, what they're trying to do, like, their projects, this, that, and the third. And pretty much people, like, will donate money, you know, I guess if they agree with whatever it is you're trying to do. So, I mean, that's just one way, you know, to kind of, you know, ante up a few dollars, you know what I'm saying? Because you never know. You might get all the money you're looking for, you know what I'm saying? Check where you're at for grants, because where I'm at, they have a few grants for, like, artists that want to do projects and stuff like that. You know, fill out the paperwork. You might get them. You know what I'm saying? You never No, you know what I'm saying? So I would just type in, you know, LAGrants.gov, whatever the case may be, you know, for artists or whatever. You never know. But, yeah, I just wanted to share that information with you. You know, I like pass along info if I can help. But
I appreciate that. I really do appreciate that.
No problem, no problem. Look, we in the same boat, brother, so I definitely feel you. No reason. Do you have any questions?
In like the next 5 to 10 years, where would you like to be at in this industry?
In 5 and 10 years, where would I like to be? I would like to be like everybody that pursues this seriously and takes their craft seriously. I would like to be known and on and basically making this a career instead of, you know what I'm saying? I treat it like a job now because I learned if you just treat it like a hobby, it's always just going to be a hobby to you. So I try to take this as seriously as possible and treat this like a job. But in 5 to 10 years, I want to see myself actually making this a career and actually being able to be recognized when I go out in public for my music and whatnot. I just really want to just make this a career in 5 to 10 years. That's all I see myself doing.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. You know, like, you got to set those goals for yourself. And, like, I definitely want to say kudos to you because we just got to be talking about CP time and you called in early. So you definitely, in my opinion, is on the right track, okay? But, you know, that's just
that.
My little opinion. But,
thank you.
Hey,
you
want...
Thank you.
Cut it out. Anyways, okay, I got a few more questions for you here.
All right.
Okay, this one's kind of a fun question, so to speak. But if you could collaborate with any artist, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, dead or alive? We're going to do the dead or alive question. I would definitely have to say the great Machiavelli, Tupac Shakur. That's always been my number one influence in this music. I mean, I look at him, you know what I'm saying? I never had a father growing up, but I definitely looked at him as, you know what I'm saying, my father growing up, because just through his music alone and just listening to his interviews and all that stuff, he just, you know what I'm saying, just taught me so much about, you know what I'm saying, about life and the way things are. So I really, if I could collaborate with anybody, dead or alive, it would definitely be Tupac Shakur.
Okay, that's deep. That's a good choice, too. I think he was deeper than a lot of us probably will ever know, you know.
But it's definitely a
brilliant choice.
And I think a lot of people look at him, you know what I'm saying, and see all the troubles and everything that he brought, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look deep in the surface, you can see everything he did for the culture, hip-hop, and just for, you know what I'm saying, the general population, because here it is, what, going on almost about 20 years later, and he's
still talking about him,
his music's still relevant, and other rappers that's already established still use his name in their music, so,
yeah.
I mean, if somebody can sit there and have that long-lasting of effect, you tell me who is greater than Tupac Shakur when it comes to hip-hop.
You're right. And they use his name and his verses. Yeah.
Biggie.
Uh-oh, you about to start up. Oh, I'm joking. No, I like Notorious Big, too, though. I mean, truthfully,
yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like they both have their own different flavors, you know?
Right. You definitely came front on Biggie, you know what I'm saying, what he did for the East Coast and everything and helping establish that. I could never sit there and take away anything he did, but if I had a choice to choose between the two, it would definitely be Machiavelli, because I just feel like you look at the overall body of both of their music, I just feel like Tupac covered more topics than Biggie did. Biggie was more of a, like, the street storyteller rapper, and then Pop, you know what I'm saying, he gave you that street, he gave you that thug, but then he gave you songs like Dear Mama, you know what I'm saying, Showing Love, like, I don't really know how many people to this day still have a hit record doing a song about their mama, so, I mean, just for that alone, just for that alone is just like amazing. But I definitely don't want to take nothing away from Biggie. Yeah, because he's definitely a legend in his own right. Definitely.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Biggie did his thing, but like Tupac, he did his thing. They both left their mark, and they'll both be remembered.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be talking about them. They'll be in somebody's history book, okay? Like, that's at least
definitely
how I feel about it, you know?
Definitely.
Okay, so let's see here. I got a couple more questions for you. Well, actually, yes, okay. One more question, then we're going to kind of get down to the music. But how do you balance your personal life and your art?
Well, I balance it because, really, you know, over the last couple of years, ever since I started taking the music seriously and started, you know what I'm saying, discovering how much work it's going to take to actually be in this game and make it a career, I've been able to sort of, like, put my personal life on a backtrack to more focus on my art because, you know, I just feel like the more time you spend on your craft, the better you get at it. And I always think about, you know, when I'm not working on it and if I'm just chilling with my friends or if I'm out at the club, I'm thinking about how many people is in the studio or wherever they at right now working on their music while I'm just out, you know what I'm saying, partying and BSing. So
right.
I just look at it like that's the way I balance it out. I just sort of put my personal life, you know what I'm saying, besides when I have to go to work and pay the bills for the man or whatever, I sort of put that on the back burner when it comes to my music. I really do take my music first before I take my personal life. Like, sometimes my friends would have to drag me out of the house just to even go out because I would be so focused on doing the music and everything that I really don't have no time for anything else.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel you on that. I mean, it's almost like being like a mad scientist, kind of. You know, like you're going to their hair,
right,
standing up on top of their head and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, type, right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, but sometimes you have to go deep to get things figured out in perspective. Okay, No Reasons, did you have another question or any closing comments?
Nah, I'm good. Just keep doing what you're doing, Wild Card. Let them know how you feel about this business, you know what I mean? Show them that you're true to it, that you know that you want to be here for the long run.
Yes, sir, my brother. Definitely.
Put that stamp on it. Okay, well, where can listeners find your music or your product?
Oh, they can actually, a couple ways. You could actually follow me on Twitter at wildcard919, and I always try to tweet every day my music links, or you could just go directly to my Bandcamp page, 91nino.bandcamp.com, and my latest album should be on there. If you want to hear my first project, Committed to My City, I have a separate band page for that called wildcard919.bandcamp.com. So, two different Bandcamp pages. This is basically where you can hear all my music at. And I also have a video on YouTube that I did a song off my last project called Ocean Water. You can just go on YouTube and type in Ocean Water Wildcard, and it should come right up.
Okay. They know where to find you, know where to locate you. So is there any shout-outs or last remarks that you'd like to make?
Yes, I would. First, send a shout-out to my mother, Jacqueline Florence. Just want her to know I'm pretty sure she's tuned in right now with a lot of my other family members. Just want her to know.
Dear Mama.
Hey, Mama, my number one inspiration in my life. She's the reason why I even decided to come out here to L.A. To pursue my music. So I want to send a shout-out to her, number one. Shout-out to my little sister, Savannah. Hope she's doing well back east. Want to send a shout-out to my aunts and my cousins, J.D., Quincy. You know what I'm saying? Hope they all doing well. Want to send a last shout out to all my friends, you know what I'm saying, back home that supported me from day one. T-Rail, Rome, Don P, Greg, you know, just all my friends, everybody that's ever supported me back on the East Coast and that will continue to support me while I'm over here on the West Side pursuing my dreams. I just want to send a shout-out to everybody. I know it probably a couple people I left out, but they all know I got love for them, so it's all
it
love.
It ain't intentional.
Yes, yeah.
It ain't intentional.
Yeah, get a little bit of credit when I put them in the little photo, in the little booklet, and I put my album out in stores, but...
Boom. Boom.
Yep,
there
yep.
you go. Okay, so you want to introduce your song? We're going to be playing Bull City 9-5. You want to go ahead and, you know,
yeah,
and bring
yeah,
it in the way
yeah.
you want to bring it in.
Bull City, what's happening? We all way live Arizona right now. This month, my song, Bull City 95, off my latest project, Determinated Since 1988. Again, you can get that at 91nino.bandcamp.com. Check that joint out, Bull City 95. You.
Boom, wild card, we getting ready to change the color on y'all niggas. Boom.
Down the city streets for so long. Man, I'm in too deep, I'm so gone. Matter of fact, I can't do no wrong. They lying to me, peace to what I'm trying to be. We grew up around a lot of beef. Soaking our sins in Hennessy, riding on our enemies. Safe to say we paid the price for it.
Price for it.
You see this music, I give my life for it.
Life for it.
So I'm at it till the classic, making magic, and we stacking, did it all up off this rapping. Hold up, sometimes I think, dog, I can a nigga make it, stack it all up, what I love, and keep me ballin' like the Lakers. Ain't no faker, ain't no hater, just a nigga bout his biz, and I swear you would be too, if you grew up where we live, cutting corners with this marijuana. You see my niggas said, motherfucker, they diploma. See, motherfucker, what you know about karma? Life is tough, nippin' tough, ain't that much we really trust. Live it up in the rush. Claiming money is a must, my nigga. But I know they keep on saying to me. But I know they ain't comparing to me. Girl, you know we down the ride. Yeah, this that Bull City 95. Yeah. But I know they keep on saying to me. But I know they ain't comparing to me. Girl, you know we down the ride. Yeah, this that Bull City 95. Cookouts on a Sunday, woke up drunk up on a Monday. Say my prayers, watch my face, then it's time to start my day. Living life, I'm feeling right, I got my plans for the night. I hit the corner, make a right, wait a sec, I need a light. Cause it's time to get the party started. Candy paint swinging, when them boys pull up, they retarded. Head to the strip club, knee by 40. Ride around town with the twin Glock 40. Straight from the knee, but I'm strapped up shorty. Back up off me, wait up homie. What you say?
These people know me,
yeah. And we getting it how we live, man.
Live, man.
Crank the music, crack the beer can. Ooh, they play my jam, play my jam, play my jam. I said, baby, who I am, who I am, who I am. That nigga from the Nino got more game than CeeLo. Fuck tomorrow, this your moment, we can do it if you wanna. Your secret safe with me, just to keep it all G. Riding around, claim the town, this is where you wanna be, my nigga. But I know what they keep on saying to me. But I know they ain't comparing to me.
Wake up,
girl, you know we down the ride. Yeah, this that Bull City 95.
Wake up,
but I know they keep on saying to me.
Get high,
but I know they ain't comparing to me. Girl, we know we down the ride.
Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking cigs. I see the world just like it is, as is. The pressure, the pain, the gift, the curse, the bullets, the fame, the glory, the hearse. And I don't back down, I'ma stand in first. The promises we make, they can change, gon' work. We here on this earth seeking knowledge of the ancient Qurans and Septuagint Bibles like a mason. Carry it as if they mean something, be frontin'. They need something, so they always keep
hunting and knocking in your quest for the knowledge that you're seeking. Not lyrically speaking, it is we that you needing. Yep, the missing link that was scattered from our holy ways. Took the schools, working tools, and sold the kids away. But now they reap the days that they sow. I know, guarantee the day I'm free, I'ma open all doors, amen.
If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is.
Yup, yup.
As is.
Yup.
As is.
Troubles are having me tuning into my brainwaves, picking maneuvers, entrepreneur. I gotta maintain, constantly smoke that A grade, yep. Properly on my A game. Prophecies of me prospering, follow me since the 8th grade. Monopoly of my payway, obvious, better make way. Anonymous like an ominous Brock the nigga, I may say. You catching on, I'm looking at a bigger picture, checking peripherals, while y'all niggas looking at a feeble form. Balls live, backwards with devil horns, charge hard like a line, backer with metal on. This mortal's combat, Mike Jacks, you like metal cords, or pluck written is like high traction on metal cords. Record shit you can lie back to and settle on, or record shit you can vibe crack to a heavy song. Now picture seas without weed in the drought token. I'm not joking, words to D's, can't believe when I say.
Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. Promise if I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. If I have a kid, I'ma stop smoking. Seems I see the world just like it is, as is. As is. As is.
I don't know what it's like to be in a war. I don't know what it's like to be so far away from my family.
And I don't know what it's like
to be the one who stays home. But I do know.
I do know this.
No matter how patriotic you are.
How patriotic you are.
Or how loving you are. Being in a military family can be harder than anyone knows. If you're feeling at a loss, you're not alone. There's help. If you need to talk to someone.
Please.
Please call this number. It's confidential and free.
Your family needs you. We need you.
Thank you for your service.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in the 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Yes, 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 yes. And we are back. We are back on the air. It is your girl, Ray Cole, your guy, No Reasons, a.k.a. Mitri D. And we are back on the Indie Up Saturday. Yes, on the D Hour Network, honey. Okay, so we're going to move right along to our next topic, which is racism in America. something that is still very, very relevant, something that is, you know, still going on. Today I have an article here that I am going to read. I forget the site. I wrote it down, but I can't remember right now. But if you go type it in Google, I'm pretty sure 9 times out of 10 it's going to pop up. Is racism not a problem anymore? Don't be ridiculous. It's still a big issue. Okay. According to this article, the RNC's ill-worded tweet about the end of racism is a nice time to remember that racial bias is still real and still affects millions of Americans. This past Sunday, to commemorate the anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott, a long-planned assault on segregation in the city initiated by Rosa Parks' civil disobedience, the RNC wrote a tweet, "Today we remember Rosa Parks' bold stand in ending racism." The reaction was swift as hundreds of Twitter users piled on the RNC with the hashtag #RacismEnded when created by a user at Feminist Jones, mocking the idea that racism is anywhere close to over. Eventually, the RNC clarified, writing that the previous tweet should have read, "Today we remember Rosa Parks' bold stand in her role in fighting to end racism." Still, this advances the idea that racism is a relic of the past. It isn't, and over the last few days, there have been several stories that reaffirm the extent to which racial bias and anti-black racism in particular are real things that happen to real people. So, I kicked off the last topic, Meech. So, what do you think about this article and the topic of racism in America?
Racism would never be over. It will forever be here until God come and retake this earth. There's always going to be there. It's, you know, somewhere, some way down the line, somebody don't like something about somebody else, and they really don't have a reason to hate, but they hate. It's been bred in them for years, and this parent bred it into this son bred it into his son and daughter, this son and daughter bred it into them, so it's just going to continue on and on, because it's just a vicious cycle of hate for no reason.
Yeah.
It's definitely a bad situation, but that's the world that we live in. You know, much as we try to, you know, we try to change it so kids of the new generation can understand that it's okay to be around other people that's not your same race. They're part of this great melting pot that we call the world. You know, there's going to be different races everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you're going to meet a different race.
Yeah.
There's not one race that owns this world. I don't care what you say. Not one race owns this world, because each race needs the other race to continue any race. And, you know, that's how this world is populated. You know, somebody going to fall in love with another color. And another color gonna fall in love with another color. Yeah, your parents might not like this person because of the way they were taught. But once they get to know the person, it's like, oh wow, I was a fool all my life. And that has happened in this whole. It has happened in the world where, yeah, I was raised to be a big old bigot, but my daughter married this black guy, and I love my son-in-law to death, but I don't love all other ones. And there's people that's like that. I just love this black guy. I don't love every other black guy. But this one right here I love because he's a part of my family. And I hate for the world to be like that, but it's going to forever be like that. There's no way of ridding the world of racism.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but then again, like, I feel like in a few years, like 100 years, especially America, it's going to be like a melting pot of different people anyway. Like, I mean, I just feel like if you look at it now, at the rate we're going, because people are kind of like mixing and mingling, which is fine, which I think is a beautiful thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's who you love, that's who you want to be with, you know, more power to you. I put my fist up in there for you. You know, but I remember back when I was in high school, I attended a school that was, I want to say about maybe about 85-90% like white. And, you know, when I first got there, it was like a culture shock for me because I was coming from a place where, you know, black was the majority, you know, and you could tell it was a little racial tension, but I think what it was from the lack of understanding. Like you said, a lot of these kids have been bred to believe certain things about not only black people but other races, because black people, we're not the only person that experienced racism. You know, like, sometimes we some of the most racist people, too, because, I mean, the thing is, I understand we're an oppressed bunch of people. We are the descendants of slaves. But I've seen some black people take out their frustrations on people that are clearly not racist in any type of way. If anything, they're people that have stood up for civil rights for others. But back to what I was talking about, back when I was in high school, you know, initially, you know, they weren't really talking to me, this, that, and the other. But once we started to kind of understand each other, we kind of learned that, you know, yeah, we got differences, but we got similarities as well. We do a lot of the same things. We just do them in a different way. And I think the way to really weed out racism is people have to be willing to understand one another and accept their differences. Like, you know, you might put this on your chicken, I want hot sauce on my chicken, and that's okay. You know what I'm saying? That's just how we get down. We two different, you know what I'm saying? We're from two different groups, but like I said, we do a lot of things that are very similar. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like, I just think, too, you know, just in the time that we're going in, like, because I hear a lot of times people, you know, people quick to scream racism, in which some stuff really is racist. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, because it does. But the thing is, when you always screaming racism and it becomes old, it's like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody's believing you. So when somebody really is a victim of clear racism, that, you know, people are like, oh, man, they always screaming racism. It's all, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like we run it in the ground. So like I said, I've seen people that have been called racist that are clearly not racist. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are pretty much the epitome of everything that is not racist. So, I mean, right. I think what it is, too, is we just really have to be willing to understand each other, to see the other person's perspective, and really work hard to abolish stereotypes. Because, I mean, sometimes, you know, and I know you be watching stuff on social media, sometimes we do shit that play right into the stereotypes. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, I used to work at a mall. And, you know, I'm not saying that white people don't steal, but apparently they either don't watch the white people or whatever. But everybody I saw that they took out of handcuffs or that they chased down and tackled were black. And it was just like, why do y'all keep coming up here stealing? You know what I'm saying? Like, because every time you come up here stealing, you're not doing nothing but making it more difficult for the next person that looks like you. You know what I'm saying? It's not fair by any means. But it's like, you know, we kind of have to bond together and really set the standard so we can abolish these stereotypes and so that people can see that, hey, you know, we got sense. We got good sense, and we use our good sense well, you know. And not only that, you know, black people, this is something I keep noticing. Stop letting racism deter you from living the best possible life that you can. Like I said, there's some people that really have been victimized by racism. But stop, oh, she racist, and that's stopping you from living your life. From what does her not liking you? Why is that stopping you? There's a lot of people that probably just don't like you for stupid ass reasons. Don't let racism stop you from being the best you that you can be, okay? Because there's some people that encounter real racism and they push past it to become something great. You know, that's really how I feel about racism. I just feel like, you know, let's just make strides in the direction to really better ourselves, better our lives, and to, you know, teach our children the right thing. Like, you have to end the cycle, meaning you can't really promote racism yourself. You know, you can't be saying stuff like, oh, that white bitch, that Asian bitch, if she call you that black bitch, you're going to be on the phone with Jesse Jackson, you feel me? So I'm just saying, give out what you want to get back. That's all rates the kid is trying to say. You know what I'm saying? You feel me, Meech Meech?
I feel you.
You feel me,
it's a rough world we live in. You know,
yes,
but we going to make it.
Look, we ain't got no choice but to make it. You get what I'm saying? Like, you either going to stand on your own 2 feet or you going to crawl. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I feel about life. You know what I'm saying? Don't let racism, don't let hate, don't let people that just, that miserable people, don't let them bring you down. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of ignorant people in it. It's just not racist people. It's people within your own communities that's just ignorant for no damn reason. And if you let them, they will hinder your ability to grow. So, I mean, you just have to really see beyond all that craziness and flap your wings and fly or whatever else it is that you do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think maybe in a few years, maybe once all those people from a certain generation die off, I know that sounds so mean, right? But it's the truth. When they die off and we start seeing more color and people start accepting more color and people start accepting people that don't really have color, you know, we just start accepting each other, you know, and not only that, just realize that sometimes everybody is not racist because they don't like you. Sometimes they just don't like you, or they don't like your character. You know what I'm saying? Don't like you. Go ahead.
I would say it might be something that you doing that just make them don't like you.
Right. Like if you go to the movies and you talking loud during the whole movie and your kid cutting up during the whole movie, I don't like your ass either, okay? And I might be your same color, okay? I don't like you either because I paid $10 to get up in this bitch and you disturbing the movie. That's not racism. That's people tired of you disturbing the movie and they paid to see it. You get what I'm saying, okay? Has nothing to do with racism. Or you go to a job interview and you look like you just came in off the street. That's not racism. You're not dressed appropriately. You know what I'm saying? This is the one I love because my little brother was guilty of this one. Yes, I'm throwing you under the bus, nigga. But you're driving around and your tags is wrong. And they pull your ass over. That is not called racism.
They racial profiling me. They racial profiling me.
No.
I'm black.
No.
Nah, nigga, your license plate expired. That's why they pulled that ass over.
All right, the tag on the back of your car say February 2012. This is February 2014. That's why they stopped you, okay? Unfortunately, they got behind your black ass and your tags weren't right. You know what I'm saying? If your shit is legit, then you got a leg to stand on. But if your shit is incorrect, okay, you fighting an uphill battle, you know?
Your brother made good if this shit was 2012. He made it all the way through 13 without getting pulled over. Shit,
oh,
Lord.
Look, have you ever been in a car with somebody, with a black person especially, and they in the car and they nervous as a motherfucker, and it's like, dude, what you so nervous for? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I need to get out. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell is going on here? But it's because they shit ain't right.
Dude, I can't lie. Riding
dirty.
I was just like that a little while ago. I was like, oh, man, my life had played a spot on my motorcycle. I was like, oh, shit. It was like, what? April of 2013 expired. It was January. So he jumped over behind me. I didn't even see him pull up. You know, I was just running somewhere. And I was just actually picking the bike up. So I was just running to try to take it home. And I didn't even know they got behind me. I looked in the rearview mirror. I said, damn, there's two motorcycle cops behind me. Damn.
They're supposed to get you.
Sue, man, they hit me with no registration, no insurance. No, I'm like, they did to me over. When I finished.
You look at it, ain't trying to tow your bike.
I was like, damn, they finna tow the bike. I'm like, damn, they finna get me. But the officer was cool. We chopped it up. He said, look,
I told him, I said, look, I just picked the bike up from the shop. I couldn't get nobody with a truck to come take me to get it. I didn't have that type of money. I just needed to get the bike from dude. He was tripping. I said, all I'm trying to do is go home. I stayed right down the street. I'm like literally four blocks from the house. And I'm going
to just let me go home. Let me go, sir. I just have to go to the snow, sir.
just cut your boy a break. This is one time I'm not. So that dude said, you know what? I'm going to cut you a break. I'm not going to tow your bike, but I'm sure going to give you these damn tickets. I said, okay, I'm cool with the tickets.
Say, I'll take it. Just don't tow my shit. That's an extra expense. Please don't tow my shit.
Just don't tow the bike. I'm good. We're going to go on and get the bike home. I jump right behind them. As they rode, I rode right behind them. Then when I got to my little block, I blew the horn, waved, and I turned off.
She'll say, peace. But let me, I'm going to tell you a funny story, and then we're going to spin a record. Okay, so I know this person always was getting a boot on their car. So this person, friend, go on Google and find out how to take the fucking boot off the car, okay? So they didn't got the boot off the car, and the tow man coming around and see him with the boot. The dude take off into the bushes with the boot. And when the person come out to get in their car, they are surrounded by the police. Surrounded, okay? Get arrested. Get the car towed. Like, just all type of bad, okay? The moral of this story is, people, just do what you're supposed to do. If you ain't got the money, just get you a bus pass, or if you can walk to where you got to go. Because what I'm saying is, they may stop you or may pull you over because you're black. And maybe that's the initial reason they got behind you. Who knows? But just assume if the police is behind you, they are running your shit, okay? But just make sure your stuff is right. Because let me tell you something. When I be rolling and the police get behind me, I'm looking right in the rearview mirror. And I'm like, yeah, I see you running my shit. Then they look up and got to look away real quick because they know I see them running my shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when your stuff is legit, you don't have to be afraid to drive. Or you don't, well, I mean, you know, it's crazy cops out there, but it's crazy people in general. But you get what I'm saying? Just make sure your stuff is legit. That's all I'm saying. I do your best to be legit so you don't have to worry about them problems. You can cruise, you can ride, you can go wherever you want to, okay? And no reasons, Meech, you get that shit together too, okay? I'm giving everybody a lecture tonight.
Trust me, after that day, I made sure everything was in order, yo. I was like, let me go get this done. I went to court the other day on all that stuff. They was like, okay, we're going to throw this out, we're going to, you didn't have it. You didn't. Your insurance don't match the date of the ticket, so we're gonna cut the price down on this because it went from $2,000 down to like $800. I'm like,
well, I'm still racing.
At least you got it together.
Because some people don't learn. They still do the same shit and wonder why they get different results. But we're gonna go ahead and spin this record. Then we're gonna prepare for our next interview. We got Chris Ness, Skittles and Ice.
All right,
here we go.
My big mama gonna be feeling this shit. Go ahead, go on, boy. Now don't be walking while you black, man. They killing brothers over Skittles and iced teas, man. Now would you look at these niggas and all these folk who act like being niggas? But the truth is, they nothing like we are. They wanna be us, but really they don't wanna be a nigga. I got a good feeling this year. We all go get on, man. We cool in the direction I was headed, and they saying perfection's unreal. Watch your boy get it, I can feel it, baby. I'm closer than ever, so all them pretty pictures I was clipping out of Vogue. Been pinning on mama's walls and the type that I be dating. But aside from all the glamour shit, I'm really for the art, yeah. Instead of chasing money, I know I'm just gonna fuck off. And sisters, stop worrying about it, your head straighten up.
Cause sister, I'ma love you regardless. Even with the head wraps and the cuck above. You the shit, black queen. Mother love, would you look at us? Just look at us and how they doing us. Man, they killed Lil Trey, they killed Huey P, they killed Fred Hampton, they shot him in his sleep. They killed the Diversity Boys, they hung him from a tree. They killed Troy Davis, fuck the police. But niggas still don't understand, say it's not a mistake, it's all a part of the plan. That if the crooked government just can raise the stakes, even you or ain't mistake, it's the heart of a black man. That's why we stay hard-headed, fighting over land we don't own, killing our own. But be mad when the cop do it, these little niggas confused. Cut off that BET, think on your own. Cause mister, I'm so swayed, he won't save you. And racks on racks on racks won't raise you. From a grave brought about from a fable, put together by some niggas just to entertain you. But your mama gon' be feeling this shit like, go ahead, gone, boy. Go ahead, gone, boy. Big mama gon' be feeling this shit. Go ahead, gone, boy. Go ahead, gone, boy. Big mama gon' be feeling this shit. This song is dedicated to the family of Trayvon Martin, the family of Kenneth Chamberlain, the family of Troy Davis, the family of Kendrick McDade, the family of Wendell Allen, family of Oscar Grant, and all the other families that have lost, in this struggle. I know it's not much. It's a start though, right? Just for Trayvon, baby.
All right. Okay, that's kind of a good song. When I was looking at it, I'm like, I wonder what he's talking about. But I was like, I think I know. But you know, hey, you know, that's how that brother was feeling. So go ahead and you know, and put it on some vinyl. But okay, so yes. You ain't supposed to say it like that. Cut it out. Okay. Before I have to crack my whip. It was me, but the way you were saying it, I'm already goofy. I'm moving along. Okay, so we have our second interviewee for the night on the line, so let me give him the proper introduction, people, okay? A man who knows no limit when it comes to playing the saxophone, his name is Calvin Evans. The 27-year-old neo-soul smooth jazz saxophonist from Alabama has listened to his share of music and experienced a taste of pretty much every music genre out there. An up-and-coming saxophonist who loves his music almost as much as he loves his barbecue. His style and sound is unique, and even though he wants to be his own self, he still credits such artists as Gerald Albright, Kurt Wallham, hopefully I said that right, Najee, John Coltrane, and Grover Washington Jr. as his greatest influences. In his own words, he says, oh yeah, some deep people. In his own words, he says, I want people to feel every note I play. That's why I play with so much passion. I can vouch for that. And his audience really appreciates the fact that he is so humble and down to earth. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D-Hour in the Up Saturday welcome to my guy, Calvin.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Empty time. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and swan dive on over into this interview, if that's okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
You pretty much said it in the bio. I grew up in Alabama. I pretty much moved a lot because my mom and dad was in the military. So I pretty much was big into music because all those car rides, 12-hour car rides, you know, listen to a whole bunch of music stations and stuff. So, that's pretty much how I got started into music. And then when I listened to Grover Washington Jr. for the first time, you know, that just made me like, oh, man, I want to play that instrument. Whatever it is, that's what I want to play. And, you know, fortunately, my mom and dad put some money together, got me a saxophone at the age of 8, and I've been playing it ever since.
Boom. I say it's been history ever since then.
Okay.
Said I ain't ready. Okay. All right. So what projects are you currently working on?
I got this album. It's called Cool, Calm, Collected. And the reason why I named it Cool, Calm, Collected, because it's what best describes me. And, I mean, I've been playing cover music, jazz standards for, like, a long time, but, you know, never been able to do my own original songs, you know, and people can see where I'm coming from, the type of music that I like to do. So this is, you know, why I'm putting out this album, so people can, you know, get the real me and, you know, see how I do, you know, on my own. So it's like 12 songs on the album. Like I said, it's real cool, laid-back jazz, smooth jazz album, and it features some local artists in St. Louis. And all those local artists, you know who you are, I appreciate you helping me out. And it's a nice album. I think people are really going to like it and feel it.
Okay. Boogie Fist, I feel you on that one, okay? Yes, I definitely understand trying to get your own stuff out there because you can sing other people's songs, in your case, you know, play other people's music, but it's definitely nothing like being able to get your own feel out there. So
Feel you on that one. You know what I'm saying? When I'm doing my own thing, you know what I'm saying? Put my own spin on the music and have, you know, having a say-so of what I want and what I don't want, you know, so... again, you know, it's entirely, you know, me, how I feel. You know, I got, you know, different producers from all over the world, you know, producing some of the tracks on the song, I mean, on the album. So it's real nice. It's going to be real good.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it, okay? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
next question. What are some obstacles that you have had to face as an up-and-coming artist?
Well, being a musician, there's not many outlets out there that you can really go to get your name out there. I mean, as far as I know, open mics are still critical to really, you know, getting your name out there, networking with people, because, you know, here in St. Louis, there's no radio stations, you know, no FM radio stations that does smooth jazz, does my kind of music. So, you know, generally I got to go through the underground system, you know, going through online radio stations, doing different websites, putting my music on many different websites and trying to get people to get to those websites so they can, you know, hear my music. And that's been, like, pretty much the biggest obstacle because, like I said, you know, a lot of people, like my generation, don't really listen to smooth jazz. You know, it's like the older crowd. So, you know, I pretty much appeal to the older crowd, which is cool. I want to appeal to people in my generation, too. So I also, you know, want to put like an R&B spin on it, put like a little rap in there just to incorporate, you know what I'm saying, my generation and then not tune out the older generation also. So just trying to incorporate and put that together, you know what I'm saying, so it could be an album for every age group has been pretty much the biggest obstacle.
I feel you on that one because it seems like this is the generation of the of the electronic beats.
It's cool because, you know, I can't really listen to FM stations like, you know, these main radio station outlets here in St. Louis. It's like, man, the music they're playing now is crazy. Like, it's... I don't see how people get it, you know, get to it. I'm not hating on nobody, but it's like, wow.
Hey, you call it what it is. Some of it's garbage. You can, I mean, call it what it is. I mean, you get some that's like, oh, yeah, that was cool, but some of it's just kind of like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not telling that. Right.
It's like, when is this phase going to blow over? When are we going to get back to, like, the real instrument?
That's what, I mean, a lot of people, you know, these rappers and, you know, even some of these singers, you know, don't know a black key from a white key on the piano, you know what I'm saying? That's big when it comes to, you know, many different things, production, you know, being in tune, knowing what key you're singing in. You know, people don't really listen to that and know that theory like that. You know, they just go out there, get on the mic and think, oh, everything I say is going to be good, and it's not like that. You know, people are so used to listening to trash nowadays, they just buy into it, and it's crazy.
Yeah, this is definitely the generation of anything goes. But I will say that you do find a jewel, you know what I'm saying, every now and then. You're like, whoa, like, where you come from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, what?
There's a lot of talented people out there. Don't get me wrong. It's a whole bunch of talented people, man. It's just, you know, just like, you know, just getting through them, you know, getting that right outlet for them, you know, guiding them to the right path so, you know, they can go up the right way instead of, you know, trying to get that get-rich-quick scheme type of deal.
Yeah,
you know?
The gimmicks. I mean, you're right about that.
Yeah.
No reasons. You got any questions?
Okay. My quick question is, which sax are you favoring? You doing the baritone, the alto? Which one is your favorite that you're working with?
I like them all. I pretty much play them all. I got an alto and a tenor that I own. I'm working on getting a soprano, but on the album, I'm playing alto and tenor on the album, and I pretty much like them both. I mean, you know, each one got their different challenges and uniqueness to it, but, you know, I practice every day. I work on them every day so I can, you know, try to master it, because I'm not the best out there. I ain't going to claim to say I'm the best, but, you know, I just want to be as good as I can. So I like them all, man. I mean, every one of you can do different things and, you know, special things to try to liven up the, you know, the production, so.
Right. Yeah, I got a little saxophone skills myself, you know. I wish I'd kept playing, but, you know.
Man, I hear so much, man. Like, man, I used to play the saxophone back in the day, man. I'm like, man, what happened? You know, but that's the good thing about, you know, playing these instruments. Like, it's never, ever too late to learn. It's never, ever too late to start back on it. You know, there's plenty of outlets we can go and get music lessons. I also do private lessons and things like that, man. So I tell people every day, like, you know, I used to play saxophone. I say, hey, you know, get back on it. I mean, it's made to be made out here. Trust me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just get back on it, practicing and working on it. But, you know, it's another thing that you got to also love it, too. You know, that's come with anything. If you want to be good at something, you got to be passionate about it, and you got to love it. So, you know, I also tell people that also.
Yeah, I got a cousin. We both used to play the sax, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I got my mind on something else. I'm about to start DJing. You can keep playing the sax, and I hate that I stopped because the dude he go hard still to this day on that sax. He gets off work before he go to work. He practice. When you get off work, you on it. I'm like, dude, you dedicated. I love that. And about, you know, I love it. When you get to playing, he'd be like, hey, cuz, let me tell you what I did. Yo, I got to play the sax for him. You know what happened, right?
Man. Yeah, man, that's how it is, man. Sometimes I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, man. If I get something in my head, I just get up. I'm out of the time in the morning, man, go in that basement and just play, you know what I'm saying? I got to be at work at 6 in the morning. I'd be up playing, you know what I'm saying, just trying to get better, you know, just
yeah.
Give me ideas.
Well,
hey,
when they call, like, it be like that sometimes. If you get an idea, it's better to get up and write it down or express it, because that's the worst feeling to lose a good idea. It's like, man,
exactly, man. You know how it is.
Yes, you got to let it get out there. So I definitely feel you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, go to the next question here, okay? If you could collaborate with any artist, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
It's got to be, you know, Grover Washington, you know, Jr., because he started this whole, you know, pretty much smooth jazz, you know, funk type of deal. And, you know, I just grew up listening to him. You know, that was like my biggest influence, you know, just seeing how he worked. You know, as far as stage presence, you know, how he articulated his notes, you know, just different things, you know, I can include in my own, you know, own playing personality. So, it'd definitely be Grover Washington. As far as saxophone and as far as singers, it'd probably be like Aretha Franklin or, you know, one of the old school, you know, Patti LaBelle. You know, just I would love to work with them too.
Man, you make some good choices. Like, both of them, they can blow, honey.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. They're my girls right there, man. I love them.
I know that's right. Okay, so I got a couple of more questions here for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how do you balance your personal life and your art?
It gets hard at times because, you know, some days, like I work two jobs because being an independent artist, you know, you pretty much got to finance your own craft, you know, and you definitely got to find people, you know what I'm saying, who's willing to, you know, donate to you, you know, provide for you and things like that. So, you know, I'm working two jobs presently just trying to finance my album because doing an album, you know, doing my first album, I just realized, man, this is not cheap whatsoever, you know, but I want to make sure, you know, I put my all into it. So I'm willing to, you know, do what I can, you know, and I'm taking that chance because I know, I'm gonna get great feedback from it. So just balancing two jobs and doing gigs and stuff like that, it gets hard. Like I just sometimes I only get 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and you know I'm back at work early in the morning, and you know it gets hard. Sometimes I don't, you know, see my family as much. I can't hang out as much as I want to. You know, it gets hard at times, but. You know, I think in the end it's gonna work out for me. So that's been, you know, pretty much the biggest challenge is, you know, not being able to hang out with my friends, not being able to go out and support the other artists out here because I'd be so tired. Sometimes I just be, you know, playing all that stuff. But, you know, I got love for all the St. Louis artists out here. You know, I support it pretty much everybody I know out here, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm hoping to get the same thing back, so.
Most definitely. I mean, I definitely hear where you're coming from. I mean, like you said, this, excuse my French, but this shit ain't cheap. Okay, so I mean, I definitely feel where you're coming from because when you think about it, it's, you know, not many people are willing just to do anything for free. You know what I'm saying? Just to, you know, you do come across those people that are willing to help you out, but most times you have to pay, especially if you want, you know, want your stuff to be done the right way. You know what I'm saying?
And I
really believe that it will pay off for you because remember, you have to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? In life, nothing really comes without sacrifice. So you putting
that's
in your
right.
time and losing out on sleep now, but you know you gonna look back in 5 years and I'm like, look what I had to do, but I'm here, like I'm kicking, I got my feet up on the table now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You gotta put in that work, put in that effort. You know, you gotta you know lose some sleep every now and then. You know, I drive for FedEx, so you know sometimes if I got to deliver a package and I be out there in the country, man, sometimes I got to pull over and go to sleep. You know, take me a nap. You know, that's how tired I be. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is. But you know, again, you know, just the sacrifice you got to make, especially you know, just you know, not having nobody put no money in your pocket. You know, except for that 9 to 5 and you know some of these gigs every now and then. You know, that's you got to do what you got to do. You know, and you know, I tell people now, man, don't give up on what you're working on. You know, sometimes you're going to deal through the hardship. You're going to feel like you're going to hit a brick wall, but you just got to keep going through it, keep persevering, and, you know, it'll work out in the end.
Well, if you're going to, the thing is you better take a sledgehammer because if you're going to be some brick walls, or you're going to have to knock them down.
All that stuff, but, yeah, you're right.
You got to do what you got to do and keep it trucking. But I'm going to tell you, like I told the my first interview, go try this site called Kickstarter. I mean, it's not 100% guaranteed that it's going to work, but it may work. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much what you do
right.
is you can go on like the starter camp. I don't know if you already know about it. If you want to know a little bit more about it, just type it in Google. You can go on there and like, put up what you're trying to do, like with your album, and you never know, people may donate to it. You know what I'm saying? Just because they see you on there and they might believe in what you're trying to do. So I just wanted to pass that information along, you know what I'm saying, because I love giving out information whenever I can. But yeah, you know, just to, you know, try it out. You never know. You might get all the points you need.
I'm gonna try anything for real. I appreciate it.
No problem. You get all them coins. You're like, I'm suited and booted now. But yes, they ready to go. But no reasons. Do you have any more questions or comments?
I'm good. I'm just ready for the world to hear this man play. That's all. You know how we do.
And they have been, they have been missing out, honey, because I have had the opportunity to hear him play live and in person. And when I say the brother can play, he can play, okay? Like, and I'm going to say this. Yes, like, a man that can play his instrument, that is a very, very, very beautiful thing, honey. And he can play that saxophone. That's all I'm going to say about that. But, yes, where can the listeners find your music and your product? If they, you know, they want to go buy it, check you out, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, just go to reverbnation.com/Kelvin Evans, my name. And I got a couple of tunes, some covers and some originals that's on there. And also you can YouTube me. I got plenty of live performances and me playing in my basement on YouTube, and just youtube.com/Kelvin Evans, and you check me out on there live. Check out my band, Definitive Soul. We also got an album coming out with them, so it's a whole bunch of music out there. You can just Google my name, you know, on the Google machine, and you'll see me somewhere out there playing the music.
Not the Google machine. Okay, but the Google machine. Okay, I'm going to have to steal that. Okay, but also, Google machine, okay. But anyway, so do you have any shout-outs or any last remarks that you want to make before we or I'm going to let you introduce your track is on, so, you know.
Okay. Well, I just want to give a shout out to all my fans, supporters, my family out there that's listening. You know, I greatly appreciate, you know, you guys having my back, you know, coming out and supporting me at these gigs, because I know a lot of them start late. So I appreciate it. To all the artists out there in St. Louis, you know, everybody from Wild Man to my best friend, J-So, to my manager, Bell B. You know, I appreciate all y'all for helping me out, supporting me. You guys are the reason why I keep doing this. And the name of this song is called It's On, and it features my main guy, Terry G. He's also playing the saxophone on there. It's a smooth, laid-back joint. And it's on my album called Cool, Calm, Collected. I want to thank you guys for, you know, allowing me the opportunity to, you know, promote myself and give me the, you know, the airways to express, you know, let everybody know how I am and who I am. So I appreciate you.
No problem. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Divas and Hustler, it's on, okay? So sit back, relax, and enjoy these smooth tunes. Check them out. Me in the midst of my nap, and I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Right. No, I said it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So you really think I'm gonna call you at 3 o'clock in the morning?
No. You don't want none of these tongue lashings, honey. But we get ready to call it a good night, honey. We about to go off the air. Thank you for tuning in with us, for bobbing your head, nodding your head, calling in, whatever it is that you did. You could have been anywhere doing anything, but you're here with us. What do you want to say, Dmitri?
Hit him with the Russell Simmons. God bless you and good night.
Night, night. Peace.
I got to talk. I got to tell what I see. I got to talk about my life as I see.
Welcome. Just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10.
And it is the biggie. It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tapped dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, Man Cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm Poseidon. When I'm writing to the score of my life, through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is a gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, lightning bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this thriller. These plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we commute through your stereo.
This is Journey Brave and you are now tuned in to the D-Hour Show.